Good morning, church. Tomorrow marks our one-year anniversary at Grace Christian Fellowship Church. And despite the snow, we're still here. And we're looking so forward to this summer. What a fine morning this morning. Someone told me, if you don't like the weather up here at the UP, just give it a few minutes, right? Such a beautiful day and such a beautiful congregation that I want you to share one another with each other. So, as is our tradition, won't we take this time to greet everybody in the name of the Lord? And somebody you haven't hugged for a while, you need to hug, go ahead and hug them. Maybe we should just have a special service just to hug one another. You ever think about that? I want to share a story with you. A story that is amazing to me because as a pastor, my call is to lead the lost to Jesus Christ. There was a young man that came to one of our Bible studies. And he looked at me with those eyes yearning to maybe accept this Jesus that we were talking about. So I asked him into the sanctuary, and I did something that's unusual for a pastor. I let him talk. I don't know what happened that evening. All I know, whatever happened, it wasn't about me. It wasn't about my role as a pastor. It was about harvesting somebody who was ready and prepared to accept Christ as his Savior. We walked in here and he had told me, and like I said, he did the speaking. He had told me that I'm yearning for something more and I'm so close to accepting this Christ that you're talking about. So close. His heart was ready. His heart was prepared. And I said to him, well, if you want to take some time, why don't you come back tomorrow? At that point, he said, no, I don't want to take any time. I want to accept them right now. Harvesting the lost for me was no more than picking a ripe crop and saying a prayer with him to accept Christ as his Savior. I knew it wasn't me. I knew that his heart had been prepared. Certainly not prepared for me. There were others that did the hard work. There were others that stayed with him in tough times. There were others, probably mums and grandmas, that prayed for him. There were others that probably hugged him and picked him up when he fell. And that all I had to do was do the picking, the light work, not the heavy work. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the harvest. The harvest. And our scripture reading comes from the Gospels of Matthew, Luke, and John. So I want you to first turn to Matthew. And we're going to be in chapter 9. And I'm going to read verse 35 through 38. Again, Matthew 9, 35 through 38. And before we start, tell somebody next to you that I love to study the Word of God. Go ahead, do that. Now say it with meaning here. Because I love to study the Word of God. Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through 38. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Okay, now let's turn to Luke 10. If you've got a pew Bible, it's page 734. We're going to read verse 10 and 11. But when you enter a town and are not welcome, Go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. And lastly, let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 35 through 38, page 753 of your pew Bible. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I send you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you with our hearts wide open and with our minds open to your word. We ask, Lord, today that you will present the word through this broken vessel in a way that we understand it and can share it with others. I ask, Lord, that you use me in all humility and that you help me to properly pour your word amongst this congregation. So with that, Lord, we are in great excitement and anticipation of what you're going to teach us today about the harvest field and the workers. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The more I see this culture, the more I see a harvest field. Don't you? People are always searching and looking for purpose. And success really doesn't seem to fill that void for them, does it? It certainly didn't fill the void for Britney Spears, did it? Or Lindsay Lohan? Or for Keith Ledger? And for Michael Jackson? People that had it all. They had everything that this humankind wants. Fame and fortune. And a following. Everything except peace, solace, and purpose in their lives. Yes, I know that today the harvest field is plentiful. And whether you like this or not, God wants all of you to be part of that harvest. Part of that harvest. But what does harvesting require? I thought about that, and as I read various verses, I came up with an outline that talks about how do we go about harvesting? How do we go about bringing people into the kingdom of God, especially in this very lost society that we have? As a church, I know that God wants us to reach out to community. Matter of fact, that's part of our vision statement. That's what we want to do. To reach out. To give people encouragement and comfort. And healing. I felt it was necessary to review certain points of what harvesting requires. And therefore I call this sermon Lord of the Harvest or Bringing in the Sheaves. Does anybody remember that song? We shall go rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Now, it never really hit me what that meant. I'm going to show you some ignorance because when I was a young child, I thought sheaves was plural for sheep. It's not plural for sheep. What sheaves really means, it's a bundle of wheat that you would bring in from the harvest. So let's go through this list of what harvesting requires. The first thing the harvesting requires is compassion. Here in Matthew 9, you see a Jesus with throngs that's following him. You can only imagine the multitude that were chasing him. And he was teaching and preaching the word, and he was healing the sick of their diseases and their infirmities. And he was proclaiming the good news of salvation and that the Messiah had come. It must have been somewhat overwhelming. Sort of like a rock star feels when everybody, you know, including the paparazzi, runs after him. Except these were hurt people. These were destitute people, distressed people. You read about the heart of Jesus here because he's touched by their helpless condition. And it says, seeing the people, he felt compassion for them. He wasn't just seeing the people. He wasn't just looking at bodies. He was looking into eyes. And he was looking into hearts. And he could feel their brokenness. He felt compassion for them. If we want to harvest, harvesting requires compassion for those with those darkened eyes. You've seen those before, haven't you? Those eyes that seemed lost. Those eyes that seemed distraught. Those eyes that felt, looks like they're in another world. That's what Jesus saw. And back then, they were oppressed by everybody. They were oppressed by the Romans who taxed them. They were oppressed by King Herod, who also taxed them. They were oppressed by the Pharisees, who took their monies for sacrifices. They were lost and they were sick and tired. Not only were they sick and tired, they were sick and tired of being sick and tired. You ever felt that? Ever felt that? Sick and tired of being sick and tired. The NIV says this. That's why I have two versions up there. The NIV says this, that they were harassed and helpless. And Wilmington's Bible Handbook says this. They were harassed by those who should have taught them and those that hindered them from entering into the kingdom of God, laden with burdens the Pharisees laid upon them. That's why they were harassed. You're not doing it good enough. Your sins are too great. You have no hope. God thinks you're bad. Would that make you distraught? They were harassed by that. They were in a state of physical and mental dejection. NASB says they were distressed. Listen to this. They were distressed. And when you look up the definition of distress, it means fleeced. Now, what does a fleeced sheep look like? They were naked. They were dejected. They didn't have a leader. They were naked and cold and hungry with nobody, no shepherd to lead them to still waters or to take them to green pastures. Aimlessly wandering around, hunting for hope, hunting for a change. Wanting more, saying this isn't what life is all about. And right to be picked off by the wolves out there. We all know about wolves, right? You don't see them, but in the night, if they're after a fleeced sheep, what happens? We have wolves out there after these fleeced sheep. Wolves of oppression and wolves of legalism. And this is what Jesus saw. In his humanness, he saw the distress of his people. The second part of what harvesting requires is acknowledging the magnitude of the work. I am sure that Jesus saw all the people and in his humanness said, God, please help me. There's just too many. We need help. And he said to his disciples, look at this. The harvest field is plentiful. But there's just a few of us. There's just a few of us. He knew that hearts and minds were prepared to hear the message of the Messiah arriving here on earth. He knew that their hearts were prepared to have that shepherd that they needed. He knew that all he had to have was workers. People that were around wanting to ask questions in their distress. What's going on? What's happening here? Jesus knew all that. And he said to his disciples, you know, there's a lot of people out there that need help. We need some workers. The third item that harvest requires is, of course, prayer for help. Prayer for help. How many times do we hear that we have not because we ask not, right? And Jesus is saying here in Matthew 9:38, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into whose harvest field? His harvest field. It's not our harvest field, is it? It's his harvest field. The only way to handle the masses was to go to the Lord of the harvest. Right? To plead with the person who prepared the field. He prays, he says, to send out workers into his harvest field. This is Jesus saying, send out. Now, send out sounds, you know, like, okay, take your time, God, send out. But when you read that in the original Greek, it's not send out. Listen to this. It is thrust out. Force out as from an urgent necessity. So what Jesus is saying is, let's pray to the Lord to throw people out there. We need a cavalry. We need reinforcements. And we need them quick. Because this is a lost and dying world. Now, harvesting also requires that it won't be easy. How many people are afraid to harvest because they're afraid of people rejecting them? Right. So the harvest field isn't easy. It takes giving of ourselves and also takes discernment. The disciples were told to have discernment when you go out into the field. When people welcome you, come into their homes and be part of them and live with them. But if people reject you, what do? You shake the dust off your feet. You don't put your pearls before swine. You go to the people that are needy, that are reaching out, that want a relationship with Christ. He says here, you know, the kingdom is near. If the kingdom is near, we got to harvest the crop that's ripe. And we don't have time. We just got to go out to the crop that is prepared, that's ready for picking. And basically he's saying, don't feel rejected, because they're not rejecting you. Who are they rejecting? They're rejecting God. They're not rejecting us. And lastly, harvest requires knowing that everyone has a part in the harvest. In John 4, Jesus points out that everybody's part of this. Some will sow, some will reap, and we'll all rejoice together. I like that, don't you? Some will help prepare hearts, which is a hard work. The preparation is a hard work. You know, the planting of the seed, the watering of the seed, the fertilizing, the picking of what? Weeds. That's the hard part. The harvest is easy. The good news is we all have the same wage, and the same wage is joy. It's joy that someone else has come to the kingdom, and no longer do they have those dark eyes, and no longer do they not have hope, because now they have hope. And no longer are they distressed and harassed, because they have a Lord that will protect them, that will shepherd them, that will be with them in all situations. Do I hear an amen on that one? Amen. We do. We do. I think Christ wanted to get the point across. We don't think highly of ourselves when God puts the harvest together. But we do rejoice when we have an opportunity to see a life changed. To see a life changed. And everybody's part of that. Everybody's part of it. But what does that mean to us? I mean, how do we talk about Grace Christian Fellowship Church? How do we learn from the scripture as far as the way we live our life as a church? Number one, we have to have compassion. We do. We got to look deeper than just a body. We need to look into eyes and hearts and into their brokenness. Once you do that, your heart changes too, doesn't it? It's easy to point finger at so-and-so did this, did that, did this, did that. They should do this to them. They should put them there and put them there. Yet when you look in their eyes and you find out what caused it, you find out abuse in the family, you find out their own abuses, you say, my life has changed, my heart has changed towards that. Compassion is very necessary. Compassion for those that have been beat up by the world, that seem hopelessly lost and aimlessly wandering, you know, through life. And as a church, we need to see people with the eyes of Christ himself. We do. Number two, as a church, we need to acknowledge the magnitude of the work. Sometimes we say, you know, it's not that bad out there. But guess what? It is that bad out there. This community is not lacking people with physical and spiritual needs. We know that. There's addictive behavior in the UP. How many people here have had moms and dads or brothers or sisters that have had addictive behaviors? Raise your hands. Look around you. How many have had addictive behaviors themselves? Keep the hands up. Look around you. Look around you. And you think the community doesn't reflect this church? It does. And the magnitude is great. And sometimes it seems overwhelming. I know that you can look over all this and say, oh, how can I help? What difference can I make? And it takes me back to my favorite story I shared with Jim the other day. There's this old man that's walking the beach. There's these thousands of starfish on the beach, all dying. And this old man slowly walks up and takes a starfish and throws it back in the ocean. And he does that, but there's still thousands and thousands of starfish out there. Two young kids came by and they're laughing at him and say, old man, what difference will that make? What difference will that make for you to throw these starfish back? And the old man bends over, picks one up, shows it to the young man and says, it makes a difference to this one. And he throws him in the ocean. We can all make a difference. We can all be part of the growing and the harvest. And we need to pray for help. What a novel idea, huh? What did Jesus say? Pray to the Lord of the harvest, right? Duh. We can pray for help. It's something that has to be part of our prayer life each and every day. Praying for help. We need prayer for this church. We need prayer for more Sunday school teachers. We need prayer for more musicians, the more leaders, more small group leaders, and those that have a gift of carpentry, the gift of plumbing, those that have a gift of just being able to pray. If this church is to grow and impact the community, we have to start on our knees, don't we? We need to start on our knees and talk to the Lord of the harvest. I like that, the Lord of the harvest. Doesn't that make you feel great? We have a Lord of the harvest. We need to understand that it won't be easy. Not everyone will accept us, will they? Have you been accepted with everybody you've talked to about Christ? No. No. But they're not rejecting us. They're rejecting God. And what we need to do is be able to walk away when there are those that are not ready to be picked for the harvest. Do you understand that? What happens when you pick something that's unripe? It doesn't do anybody any good, does it? Certainly doesn't do the Lord of the harvest any good. You see, we constantly play this, I like to call it this, Christian Jeopardy. You know the Jeopardy game? The thing is, we're ready to hand people the answer, but guess what? They don't know the question. They're not ready to ask the question. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know the game of Jeopardy, they come up with the answer, and we say, Jesus, and they're, duh. Instead of waiting for the question, who is this that's working in you, that has changed you, that have made you different than all the others? Tell me about this Jesus. There's a lot of people that are ready to ask that question. All God wants us to be is be available. Like the young man 3 months ago, all I was available. I had the easiest duty, and that was just to pray with him and ask him whether he's ready to accept Christ. That was easy. That was easy. And for this church, we have to know that everybody has a part in the harvest. Some of us will sow and will not see the effect of that sowing. And some of us will reap. And some of us will water. And some of us will fertilize. How many of you know that you've had a grandma or ma praying for you and for your relationship with Christ? Look at that. How important is that? That's very important. Everybody has a part in the harvest. Some will water the sprout with grace and never see it grow to maturity. Some will be available to harvest the crop and lead others to a relationship with Christ. And we will all rejoice together. Now that song makes sense. You ready? Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, we shall go rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Doesn't that make sense to you now? A word said, a lesson taught, an act of mercy and grace and presenting Christ, we all have a part in this harvest. We will all go rejoicing, knowing that somebody has come into the kingdom. And you want to know what it looks like for someone that's pleading for you to talk to them? We had shown this clip a few months ago, and I think it's necessary to know that we have a lost and dying world just waiting for us to be available for the harvest. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we lift ourselves up to you. We ask, Lord, that you will guide us as a church to harvest this community. We ask, Lord, that you will give us your compassion and your eyes to look into the hearts of mankind and to be able to give people the gospel of Christ, the gospel of love, the gospel of purpose. Dear Lord, in this lost and dying world, we ask that you bring people to us that will ask that question. Who is this Jesus that you know? That we may be available to harvest those that are hunting for more, those that are harassed, those that were distressed and dispirited because of the world beating them up. Dear Heavenly Father, we lift ourselves as a church to you. I also lift to you, Lord, anybody that's here that doesn't know you. Anybody that's here that has never accepted you as their personal Savior. I ask all of you that don't know Jesus, why not and would you like to? It's pretty simple. The prayer is pretty simple. He said, Dear Lord, I turn away from my old ways and I repent of those and I walk towards you and I accept you as my Lord and Savior, as my shepherd, the one that will comfort me and encourage me and heal me and bring me to the next level and give me purpose. It's a pretty simple prayer. And if you have never said that prayer, now's the time. Just say this in your heart. Dear Lord, I repent of my sins and I accept you as the one who died on the cross for me to set me free of my sins and to start a beautiful, wonderful walk with you. Now, with every eye closed and every head bowed, I'm going to ask this question so I can pray for you. I'm going to ask this question. Did you ask Jesus into your heart today for the first time? And if you did, I just ask you to put your hand up and put it right back down. Just put your arm up. Thank you. And put it right back down. One more time. Just put your arm up and put it right back down. Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, we get so excited about you using us to be part of the harvest. The harvest that you have prepared for us. And Lord, just help us to recognize what's ripe and what role we have to pluck that grain out and to help lead it to eternity. With that, Lord, I just pray a special blessing on Grace Christian Fellowship. I pray, Lord, that you will use all of us mightily for your kingdom. And I pray this from the bottom of my heart in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen.